It's time for Making Democracy Work, a weekly program produced in cooperation with the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. Your host today is Leslie Carrier.
In the midst of everything that has been going on with the pandemic, let's not forget that this was also the year for the census. Because of COVID, the census process had to adapt just like all of us had to. Jason Ray is the executive director of the Southwest Missouri Council of Governments, and they were the coordinating organization for the census process in Southwest Missouri this year. Jason, let's start by give us a history of the census, the background, and why it's such a critical function for our communities.
The decennial census determines how the state receives representation in the U.S. House of Representatives and Congress, but it also impacts how much money we receive in federal funds that are distributed by Congress through populations that are derived by the decennial census. So it's estimated for every person that is counted in the state of Missouri, we receive about $1,300 in federal funds. You know, the responses for the 2020 census have now been collected, but now comes a very critical and important process of creating statistics. And that's anonymous data that'll help shape the next decade for communities across the country and across Missouri. As you mentioned, this census was like no other, with the United States and much of the world facing the COVID-19 pandemic. But thanks to hundreds of thousands of people and partners like our organization and several other organizations here in Southwest Missouri, we all came together to get the word out and finish the count. But the 2020 census was not just a one-year effort. We've been preparing for it. The Bureau made changes to account for lessons that were learned in 2010. And they conducted operational census tests in cities across the country starting back in 2014. Beginning in 2018, they also extensively researched how people perceived the census and what would motivate them to complete it. Counting everybody living in the United States takes a lot of help, and the 2020 census required the American public and all of us to work together to shape the future of our country and of our state. And to complete the count, they ended up hiring over 500,000 employees from communities across the nation, mostly to serve as census takers. This was launched through a robust hiring process that started in September of 2018, and the Bureau eventually received over 3.1 million job applications. You know, pushing people to respond to the census had a very robust public awareness campaign. It was Shape Your Future, Start Here. But shortly after that was launched, you know, the state went into a state of public health emergency, and the stay-at-home orders came shortly after that. But again, we all worked together to make sure that the count was completed and it completed accurately for the state.
What were some of the specific challenges due to COVID? How did you have to adapt, or how did the census takers have to adapt?
So just as the census was launched online, which 2020 was the first time that a U.S. census has been offered online, much of the country began to hunker down in response to the pandemic. So I think the Census Bureau invited people to go online on March 12th. And March 13th is when the public emergency, state of emergency, went into effect. So the weeks and months that followed, the Census Bureau took steps to ensure the health and safety of the public and census workers were protected. That included suspending field operations in mid-March before launching a phased restart in May, as some states and some parts of Missouri even started to reopen. As census takers returned to neighborhoods, they were required to wear masks, maintain social distancing, and follow other local guidelines. We quickly adjusted our messaging. We pivoted from the original campaigns. The national campaign was years in the making. Ours, we spent several months putting together to encourage people to respond online from the safety of their own homes or by calling the 1-800 phone numbers that they had together as well. Our partners played vital roles around the region and created new ways to drive responses to the 2020 census. That included attaching stickers to carry out food containers, printing messages on grocery receipts, ramping up our social media efforts. We actually ended up with a mascot during all this named Census Sammy, a Black Labrador, who was the stay-at-home work colleague of our census coordinator. And then we also handed out flyers for you know, food bag donations and things like that. The biggest issue I think that we ran into was ensuring to count college students, because many of them went back home to other parts of the state, and Census Day was on April 1st. So trying to get them counted where they normally would have lived was a messaging hurdle that we had to overcome.
So what's the next step, and where does the census go from here?
The count came to an end on October 15th. Over the following months, the Census Bureau will ensure that the data is accurate, that we've only counted everybody once, only once, and in the right place. The U.S. Secretary of Commerce will deliver the apportionment population counts to the President of the United States as close to December 31st as possible. Then the President will deliver them to Congress. And in mid-2021, we will receive the local counts that each state needs to redo their legislative redistricting.
Well, thank you very much. Our guest today has been Jason Ray, Executive Director of the Southwest Missouri Council of Governments. This has been a program of the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. For this and other programs in the Making Democracy Work series, go to the web at ksmu.org.